to those that we encounter throughout the week. Help us stay full and refreshed for what you have in store. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right. We finished our series about what can we learn from the past, and we're getting ready to, next Sunday, we'll really start looking at Easter, and we're looking at a series about walking with Jesus to the cross. And so, this is a good in-betweener. It's, can I really know God? Look in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Give you a second to get there. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Isn't that a great verse of scripture? We're without excuse. So can we really know God? Most people are like a piece of paper that they go as the wind goes. They just are tossed to and fro, and they really are not grounded on anything, and the wind just will take them out. And they feel like we're out of control. We often feel like life itself, sometimes it feels like it's out of control. I don't know about you all, it seems, you know, we laugh, we start on Sunday, and then you turn around and it's already Friday. And it just, things just fly by. And it's amazing. But a lot of people feel like life or their life is out of control. We find ourselves oftentimes questioning why we have troubled hearts, why we have fear, why we are upset, why we are anxious. Question also is, what are you searching for? What are people searching for? Is it even possible to find the kind of peace or satisfaction in life? Yes. You can find God. You can know God. It's important for us to keep that in mind. Yes, you can know God. I want to challenge us this morning to think about it this way. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, you know, going through motions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing God. And I challenge you, think about it, knowing God again for the first time. You think about that. Remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Remember how exciting it was? You know, some may be a little further back than others, but I can still remember how exciting it was, and how different you felt. I was 10 years old, and I still can remember just feeling almost lighter than air about how you know your sins were washed clean. I didn't understand it all, of course, but I knew something had changed in my heart. And I knew that Jesus washed me clean. And I was so excited. I challenge you to think about that all over again. Knowing God, challenging you to know God again, maybe for the first time again. Finding God again. Finding Him and knowing Him in such an intimate, loving way. So how can you know God? How can I find God? Sad thing is, most of us, most of the world, is looking for God in so many different ways. They look for God in what the world has to offer. They look for God in what their own hearts want. They look for God in a lot of different ways. God is not playing hide and seek. That's the thing that we've got to remember. God doesn't play hide and seek. He wants to be found. He wants people to know that He is there. He wants people to know that they have hope, that they have, there's something more than this day-to-day grind, this day-to-day, you know, grilling it out and just finding life sometimes so hard. There's more to it than that. And God has a plan to make life better than that. in so many ways. So there's four things we'll look at as we go along. The only thing that stops us from really knowing God is our own limitations. We are human. We don't have the ability to understand God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to think about, you know, God and think about some of these things, and more than just you read them, but you think about them, and you end up with a headache when you try to think about all the wonderful things about God, because you just can't. We don't have the ability to do that, but there are things that we can know. There are things that He wants us to know. So who is God? Sad thing is, to some, He is of our own making. You know, I get tickled, and I was just, the girls got, we went to Build-A-Bear years ago, and actually they built a monster, they didn't build a bear, but they would take bits and pieces of what they wanted, and they put this thing together. And the problem is that, and I got to thinking about this, that Christians sometimes treat God like He's a Build-A-Bear. They want to build Him the way that they want Him to be, not who He is. We want God to be a little bit this. We want God to be a little bit that. We want God to be more like this. We want God to do this. But God is not like ordering a pizza. We can't just pick and choose toppings. He's not that way. He's who He is. And that, when we think about it all the way back to Exodus, and Moses says, when the people ask, who do I say that you are? And God looked at Moses, or through the bush, and He said, I am who I am. Now, I can remember as a child when I first heard this. Mickey, I thought God was being kind of tongue-in-cheek with Moses. You know, I am what I am. Does that answer the question? Who may I say that people, when they ask, can I tell them who you are? And God says, I am who I am. But as I got older, it began to make more sense. God's not who we say He is. God is not what we want Him to be. God is not what we think He should be. God is who He thinks He should be. God is who He chooses to be. You know, it seems like we oftentimes get in this guessing game, and instead of trying it through faith, we get into a guessing. Well, does God want this, or does God want that, or is God, you don't want me to do this, or what is God saying? And I know we all get into that. Something happens and we think, what is God trying to tell me here? Well, I don't know. I kind of wish I did know. I wish He would give me the ability that when you all had a question, what does God mean by this, would this happen? I would love to say, well, this is what God meant. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't even work with my relationship with Him, let alone knowing what somebody else. People, in order to understand or believe, might seek conditions of God. And I've heard these, and many, 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 many more. Now, the first one is, I might believe if I could see Him, then I would believe. I know we've all heard people say that. If God is real, let me just, you know, let me see Him. Let me see who He is. Let me see what He's all about. God tells Moses that there's nobody that could see me and live. So seeing God is probably not much of an option, because if you do see Him, you don't live. But why do we have to know to see Him, feel Him, look at Him, visually see Jesus, and see God, and we won't believe until we do? We're missing out on something called faith. There's, we think about it as God works in our lives. It's just amazing what He does. He's working in our lives every single day. He performs miracles in our lives every single day. But the problem is, when things happen to us, we call it luck. We call it fortune. We call it dodging a bullet. People see with their eyes, but are blind to the things of God. I think we as Christians are often blind. I get tickled. We have learned through the years that if we're trying to leave at a certain time and things aren't going right, or things aren't doing exactly the way we expect them to go, and which kind of like tripping us up, we think, all right, God is stopping us from something happening down the road. And oftentimes it's true, isn't it? And we get angry, thinking, oh, would you just hurry up? We got to go. You know, we need to go. We need to go. But we found that that's God's way of saying, slow down. I'm protecting you from something down the road. We don't know what God is doing. Number two, some people might say, let me ask God some questions to see if He's real. What question could we possibly ask God that He hasn't already answered in the Scripture? What question could we ask Him that He has not already told us? All we have to do is dig in here and find the answer. And I heard a preacher one time say that every question that you would have in your mind, God has answered in the Bible. And I thought that was crazy at one time. Till we do what? You read the Bible. I mean, you got a question, He's got an answer. He's got it all prepared for us. But you think about it. What other question would you ask Him that would really make you turn or change your mind about stuff? It's in here. Third thing that some people might say, I just want to understand God. Just think about it. We know a lot about each other. You know, I know a lot about Karen and Rachel and Sarah. I know them. But do we know everything about them? We don't know what they think, do we? You may know your spouse. You may know your children. But you don't know what they're thinking about all the time. We truly can't understand the greatness of God in the minute things and the great things of God. How can we understand Him? And think about this. Knowing God is different than knowing about God. I know a lot of people who will acknowledge that there is a God. A lot of times you visit and you'll hear people say, well, yeah, preacher, I know there's a God. But that's where it usually stops. That's usually where it stops. The Bible is full of people who knew about God. Eve knew about God, but that didn't change her. She still sinned. Pharaoh knew about God because he admits the God of Moses is greater than any of the gods of Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar knew about God. He finally admits that there's no other God other than the God of Israel. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. There's a big, big difference. Satan himself knows about God, doesn't he? But he doesn't know God. He doesn't have that relationship that he offers us. People can know God with their mind, but they may not believe with their heart and are just as lost as can be. So how can we know God? I think one of the greatest ways to know God is to just look around. Look at our world. It's made up by a specific order. Science will back that up, right? Everything has an order. Everything has a way of going. Everything has a series that it follows. Step A, B, C, and D. There's order to the world. And that just can't happen by an accident. There's purpose to it. You think about how complex creation really is. beauty of a mountain, the forest, the oceans. I love to hear the birds sing. You know, you think about, none of this is an accident. And that's a way of knowing who God is in a very different way than you would normally think about. God is in the mountain. God is in the forest. God is in the bird song. God is in the clouds. God is in the sky. God is in you. And I think one of the greatest acknowledgments of who God, that God is in control is a baby. You think about a baby birth itself is such a miracle that God himself put into motion. David says in Psalms 139:14, he says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I praise you because you have made me. You've given me opportunities. You can use me in a mighty way. I think we can know God through the lives and actions of others. You look into the Bible and those characters have already lived through what you may be living through, and you can see God being alive as he delivers Daniel, delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's with David, he's with Paul, and he's with Peter. You can see the actions of Bible characters. You can see actions of those Christians around us and how God is been in their life, how they have surpassed some very terrible and trying times, but God has been there to help them. You can see God in that situation because God is alive and he's real. When God is allowed to enter into a person's life, things happen. We can see that peace, we can see that love, that caring, that kindness. We see it in others, and we can be that person that shows the love and have the spirit of love for those around us. Can we know God? How can we? By his written word. The Bible is a written document that is provided by oral traditions about how God has interacted with man throughout time. You know, I challenge you that, you know, we look at the Bible and I've often heard it talk about a thread through it. I look at the Bible as a woven together basket from Genesis to Revelations. It's all woven together into one big basket. And the basket can't hold if one piece is gone. Every single piece has a role. Every single piece has a reason and a purpose in that basket. And that's what God's written word is. It's an oral tradition that God has had men write down about what he has done and what he is going to do, even as time is yet to come. We see God through victories and defeats. What I love about the Bible is that the good and the bad are both in there. God doesn't hide the bad of some of his people. It's there. He doesn't hide David's affair. He doesn't hide Abraham lying. He doesn't hide any of that. It's there. But we can learn through that in God's writings. And you can find that peace and contentment. To know God can be done by taking a good look at one person in the scripture, Jesus. If you know me, you have seen the Father, is what Jesus says. Just think about it. If you've seen Jesus and you want to know what God's all about, you want to know more about God, all you got to do is look in the scripture and look at Jesus and find out who Jesus was and what Jesus was all about and what Jesus was teaching and preaching. That's what he was all about. That's who God is Jesus here on this earth. You think about it. Without people, there is no ministry. Without needs, there is no meaning or purpose in serving others. without looking at the life of Jesus, we are missing it all. Jesus didn't go by and ignore people. Jesus didn't go by and turn his back on people. Jesus didn't go by and not have anything to do with others. He was motivated to help because, so they, what did he say? So you can see my Heavenly Father better. We can know God. And you think about through Jesus in particular. In particular, who Jesus is. To know God can be done by taking a good look at Jesus. You know, maybe for the first time in a long time. Maybe we need to have just another clear look at who Jesus is. And think about it. Just stand back and just think about Jesus and God all over again. When you're having those quiet moments, ponder on God. Think about God. Think about that relationship and what it means to you. Can you know God? Yes. Can you be closer to God? Yes. Because he loves you. And that's the greatest thing that he gives us, is his love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can know you by watching others and listening to others and reading your word and especially looking at Jesus and what Jesus did while he was here in the ministry and how Jesus dealt with people. Father, we know how you are because we can look at him and we can read about Jesus. And that helps us to understand that you are God, you are love, you are grace, you are mercy. We thank you for all that. Father, just help us to maybe look at you for the first time. And you know, we may call it repentance, we may call it forgiveness, we may call it whatever it is, we rededicate in our life, but we might just take a step back and just look at you in awe all over again. And just think about how wonderful, wonderful you are. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.